Hey everyone, welcome to NSUMD's Sink or Swim podcast. This is Autumn. I'm joined today with my colleague and friend, Salam Harb, and also Katie Kennan. You guys want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, hi, I'm Salam, Autumn's classmate, soon to be doctor, all of us. And I am dual applying EM and general surgery. So that's
Awesome.
Yeah, and today we're going to be
yeah.
talking about the dual application process, specifically in regards to emergency medicine and general surgery. So
Yeah.
we're going to highlight Salam today. So thank you so much for joining us.
For sure, for sure. So
Yeah, we'd
get into
appreciate it.
Yeah, of
Yeah.
course, of course.
So yeah, let's get into it. So what made you originally want to apply EM and gen surgery?
So for me, I think when it came down to it, there were a lot of factors I considered. I knew in general what I want to do is help people, and I want to do it in a way that is both, utilizing my knowledge from medical school, but also just learning how to do procedures, whether that be central lines, chest tubes, or in general surgery, obviously a little bit more procedural. with that being said, I am a little bit hoping that I match general surgery as opposed to EM. They both have their pros and cons. So I'm gonna be quite honest. I wouldn't be upset with either specialty that I match into, but there is a part of me, a small part of me that hopes it's general surgery. Although, the journey is tough, I feel like it would be worth it because I think that's where I really found my place in medicine.
Definitely. And if you don't mind like elaborating on like, do you feel like your score played a part into why you felt like you needed to dual apply, or were you just not decided on EM or gen surge?
Oh yeah, for sure. I guess without revealing too much.
Yeah.
My step two score was, let's say, below 250, around the 240 region. So it definitely played a part into my application. I knew with general surgery, a 240 isn't necessarily going to guarantee you a match. And the last thing I wanted for myself was to go unmatched. And I guess lucky for me, my goals as a future physician and just the way things are in terms of competitiveness worked out because emergency medicine is my quote unquote backup. Although I don't really see it as a backup. It is, yes, less competitive, but it's still a good gig. Like I've done three rotations in emergency medicine and
You enjoyed them.
I could see myself doing this.
Yeah.
It's not as cool or as like, adrenaline rush as general surgery is, because truly being in the OR felt like my favorite place in the hospital.
Oh, I didn't know
So
that.
yeah,
That's
no,
really
for sure.
cute.
I've had quite a lot of surgical rotations, and with each one I just fall more and more in love. I'm interested in the pathologies, I'm interested in the patient population, and I'm especially interested in just doing some of these surgical techniques, and then one day being a surgeon and being able to do it on my own. But
Gotcha.
it is 5 years compared to emergency medicine, which is 3 years.
Yeah.
You still get to do cool stuff and get that adrenaline rush that I mentioned with, resuscitations, bringing someone back to life, or doing procedures like central lines or suturing. So yeah,
Nice.
I sort of went on like a
And
tangent,
no,
but
that's perfect. Yeah, and I don't think emergency medicine is like too like out of left field, because I remember when we first met our M1 year, you mentioned like being interested in emergency med.
yeah,
So like that's something I've always known about you.
I was actually genuinely surprised to see that I was less competitive. You're sort of jack of all trades, and you get a taste of everything, even the surgical aspects with the procedures you're doing, and you have a good lifestyle. And one of the reasons why I even went into medical school, sort of the journey that brought me here, was actually my EMS experience, being an EMT and then bringing patients to the hospital and explaining to the doctors and the nurses, what the patient is, the HPI and what we might have done in the ambulance. And just being in that emergency room is what fueled me throughout college, truthfully, fueled me throughout college to get into medical school. So, like I said, whether it be ER or OR,
I love that.
I'm okay with
You're good with
either.
either. I know you mentioned that EM has a lot of attractive factors, and you mentioned that it is quote unquote less competitive in general surgery. Why do you think that's the case?
So truthfully, that's a great question because I thought the same exact thing. So I did like a little bit of research, and there's two main reasons why it's become less competitive. Because there was a time and place where emergency medicine was sort of middle of the pack. It wasn't less competitive as it is now. I think it was 2 or 3 years back, there was a whole scare about there not being a job market for the amount of emergency medicine physicians. But I think now, like this year or last year, they sort of redacted their statement, and you know, there's definitely enough supply for the demand. It's definitely, you know, gonna find a job after residency. And I think another aspect is the burnout rate. Truthfully, to this day, I still don't know why the burnout rate for EM is so high. There's different sources saying different things. For me, that's my biggest scare with EM. Other than that, everything about EM is perfect.
But you don't think there's a burnout rate with general surgery?
That's the thing. I know. I listen. I agree with you. I think being a doctor in general is hard. I think maybe some people thought EM being shift work would be a little bit easier.
True.
I could see the burnout with EM, like even though it's like shift work, like if you're there for 12 hours, let's say you're at like a busy ER, like take like Kendall or like these are like that's the program that we're familiar with because we rotated there. Or like University of Chicago. Remember we were talking about U Chicago with EM? Like when you're on, it's like person after person, trauma after trauma, like all of these things coming in like all the time. I could see how that could be like tiring, and depending on how much, you know, how much you want your salary to be. Like, let's say you do like 5 days of just straight shifts, you know, that, I mean, for me, I feel like that would be like super tiring. Whereas for gen surg, like you could be a hospitalist general surgeon where I think that would probably have more higher rates of burnout, or like you could be like a general surgeon who has still gets to see like their patients in clinic. So like you have like a little bit of a break and like the constant go, and like you can schedule surgeries, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's a thought that came into my head. I think you put it beautifully. When you said when you're on, you're on. When you're off, you're off. And I don't think a lot of people may understand that. Like when you look at other specialties like internal medicine or general surgery, you know, you're not consistently working the whole time you're there. You're grabbing lunch, you're taking time to write notes.
Notes, yeah.
You're rounding. Of course, you're still doing this under time constraints, and you have to sort of hustle, but it's a little bit different. You can hustle at a tempo.
Gotcha.
With EM, as Katie
12
said,
hours.
you're on. If you get a little break in between, you know, you've lucked out, but you have to just be ready for anything that comes to that door. That's something that scares me as well, because you really have to be on your A game consistently. And I think that's why if I do go down the EM route, I think I will end up specializing through fellowship. For example, there is a way to work in the ICU. A lot of the top programs for me that are EM have some sort of fellowship that I could look into that might curb that burnout, especially the surgery. I'm sorry, the critical care, intensive care route. You know, you're working in the ICU, and yes, it's very hard, but again, you're rounding, you're taking time to write your notes, take a lunch break. So,
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think notes contributes to a lot of the burnout. Because obviously with gen surg, your focus is surgery. With ED, like you said, you're on for that whole shift, which is usually like 12 hours, and you have to like finish your notes like at a reasonable time. The one ED that I rotated at, I think they had a few days to get into their notes. So like they didn't have to finish all of their notes from that shift during that shift. But it does make it harder, right? Like if you take your notes home, or like if you have to finish it like the next time you're on shift, like do you even remember the patients at that point? So I'm sure like the notes definitely can contribute to that burnout seen in ED.
For sure, for sure. And that's why I think one of the things I've seen in the ED, through like the rotations I've had, is a lot of the ED attendings either, don't work that much during the month, maybe 14 shifts in a month. And sometimes those same people or even different people, they'll have scribes writing their notes for them because it's already enough to have to see anything that comes to the door, and that could be back to back to back. When what time would you have to, it's a balancing act. You have to balance that with documenting these patients so the hospital gets paid, so you get paid.
Gotcha. When you did your rotations in the ED, do you feel like it was representative of what you imagined emergency medicine is? Because I know a lot of residents, like obviously they get into it and they're like, wait, I thought I would be doing more procedures. I thought I would see more of like those high trauma cases, but surgery is taking these cases. Like, do you feel like it was representative of what you imagined?
Yes and no. Let me elaborate a little bit. With the ED, I think going through these rotations, I realized a few things. One, those rare cases where someone's in cardiac arrest is in, young and comes to the hospital and you resuscitate and you're the hero of the day, doesn't happen as often as you think. With that being said, I do still feel as though we still get those special case scenarios at least once a shift, once every other shift. But the biggest thing with ED that I've realized is the mindset you have when you walk into the ED and the way you use your knowledge and apply it is different. You have to sort of think like an ED physician. And that's how you're really able to get through so many patients sometimes. Sometimes you're seeing back to back to back patients and you're under time constraints.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So another question, is there another specialty that you considered applying to that wasn't surgery or EM?
Yeah, for sure. To be honest with you, I feel like one, with every rotation I did during my third year, sort of pictured myself doing that specialty. And I think, I mean, the way things were, surgery was my last rotation, and that's when I figured out that so I sort of like this specialty above all the other ones. But there was one specialty that I kind of regret not trying out and not learning a little bit more about. Neurology was definitely up there for me for a little bit. Yeah, neurology or psychiatry. I think I sort of let go of psychiatry, just because it felt like I went through all this medical school. I want to apply it
We talked about
a
this.
little bit more than just one discipline that we had in preclinicals for like a month or two. But yeah, neurology, I never really rotated. I mean, I've talked to people about it and sort of got an idea of the po patient population you can deal with, but I wasn't about to triple apply. So I said, of these three, let's choose
Might be
two.
pushing it a little
Yeah, I was like,
bit.
I don't know. This whole process, really, this whole ERAS process is a big thinking game because by the time it's, time to apply, you really got to have everything figured out, I lucked out with EM, truth be told, because it was the first rotation that I scheduled for fourth year. And it was during a time when everyone was step two studying.
I
And
remember.
I lucked out and I got a slow letter, which, the specialties I chose, the thing with EM is it has a whole different process for your letters of recommendation. I think part of the reason why they do that is so they don't have a lot of people backing up, applying as a backup into the specialty.
Gotcha.
So they were like, have you had an interest? By the time it's time to apply, if you haven't done an EM rotation, it's kind of hard to apply without a slow. So I think I lucked out in even having the opportunity to dual apply.
Yeah, that's interesting. We also have a slow for OB. So I think we took it from EM. I think y'all started it.
I can't relate to that life. I'm good with my traditional letter of recs.
Yeah, I think a big reason why EM probably started it was, and maybe this is partly why they had such an atrocious year that one year where there were so many unfilled EM spots. I think it threw off the numbers because they didn't expect so many people to maybe apply EM as a backup. One, that's one factor. And then two, there's a lot of positions out there. There's a lot of positions, maybe more positions than there are applicants in terms of EM. So it's tough. I thought it was an interesting thing that I've seen with EM.
Which piggybacking off of that point, do you feel like there are a lot of MDs and DOs like in the ED, or do you feel like they're leaning more towards like MPs and like
Certain
PAs?
hospitals, I'll say certain hospitals do it differently. Working at Kendall, I think we maybe had one PA, but there were like three, four residents. I did St. Joe's in Patterson, and there was no PA. It was nurse, attending, resident, med student. That was like a pod. And then similar situation. There was one instance when I started seeing PAs and at like mid levels, and it was in the fast track area of the ED. You have a physician there, and you also have a PA and a nurse practitioner. I saw that at Hackensack. But for the most part, it hasn't been a huge problem, which, there was that whole thing with mid-level creep as well.
So you would you say that's a myth?
I don't think it'll be too much of an issue. Maybe some places, but in my experience in the ED with three different places, I didn't see them that much. I think
So you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what was the application process like for you applying to both specialties? And I know you mentioned like for EM, you had to do a slow letter or a slow form. But for gen surg, that's not really a thing. So what are some similarities? What are some differences about that?
yeah. So right off the bat, it's double the work, right? You're writing a personal statement for surgery, you're writing a personal statement for EM. In terms of letters, again, you're getting three, four letters for surgery, and then you're getting one to three slows. You can also get something called an e-slow, which is supposed to be like an off-service slow, which is basically any physician from another specialty. For example, I chose psychiatry. A physician could basically talk about your skills and try to translate that over. Because I think in the end, I ended up with two slows. Like I said, I lucked out in March by getting that one right before applying. And then I got a second one right when we started submitting applications. So I was able to throw in that second slow right before that date where, all the residencies have our applications. So definitely a hustle, double the work. But I will say it definitely pays off. Yeah, it paid off in the long run, I would say.
And both applications are through ERAS, correct? You just need a slow
Yeah,
for EM.
exactly. And I'll give you my case scenario. I'm, not gonna hold back, but I got 25 interviews. Of those 25 interviews, eight or nine of them were surgery. Could I have applied with that eight or nine? Yes, but I still run the risk of not matching. I don't want that risk existent at all. So I have, what's eight, nine minus 25? That's
Yeah, we're
16.
not math
Yeah.
people, hence why we're in medicine.
Exactly. Basically 16, 17 EM interviews. So one thing about it, come March 21st,
Right.
I will be matching.
You're
You know
matching
what I'm
regardless.
matching regardless. You know what I'm
I'm
saying?
so happy for you.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't spend 4 years undergrad, 4 years medical school to like stress out for another year and reapply. It's like, no. I don't make it into the surgical residencies, I believe it's from God, and I'll leave it to him. Maybe my path is Yeah, I believe he's setting forward the best path for me.
Yeah, for sure.
So
And
that's, sorry, go ahead, Kitty.
no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's a lot of programs, 25.
Yeah, I
Amazing.
appreciate it.
So, how are you prioritizing these programs on your rank list?
You know, that's a great question, honestly. And I feel like talking about it here maybe might help clear my thoughts a little bit. I tried to word it when I was emailing Dr. Bachman. I'm actually having a meeting about it tomorrow because I've come up with two rank lists. And for me, I think the big overall goal, I really thought about it and wrote down my thoughts. My overall goal, what would be optimal for me, is to stay in South Florida, A, and B, to be a surgeon in South Florida. Those are basically my two priorities. In the first list, I sort of make both of those priorities equal. So at the top of the list, you'll see,
You don't have to name drop,
I
but
won't name drop, but
yeah.
you'll see that I will either have, any surgical program in South Florida or a high-end emergency medicine program in South Florida at the top of my list. The only issue with that is, let's say my third option is a reputable EM program in South Florida. If I match there, I don't really give any of the surgical options an opportunity. So I have another list where it's
Surgery.
all surgery opportunities first, and then all EM opportunities from best to lowest second. That's something I have to figure out basically by tomorrow. Yeah, and then I have to certify.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Katie? Because that sounds intense and stressful.
Yeah, I mean,
It is.
you know, I would
Very much
definitely.
yes. But it's good to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, like just kind of talking it out, I think, you know, you've kind of said that you would be 100% okay with matching EM, right? But if you were to lay your head down at night, let's say we're 5 years from now, right? And you match EM. And you lay your head down at night and you're questioning, dang, what if I could have matched general surgery? Then I would do all of the general surgery first and then do EM. But if you think that, you know, you lay your head down at night, and even now you could think about it because that's kind of how, I mean, I only applied to one specialty, but that's kind of how I looked at the different programs that I ranked and like, you know, would I be constantly, not constantly, but would there always be the thought in the back of my head, like, well, what if I could have matched here? Did
Yeah.
I miss out on something? If you have that thought in your head, then that should kind of give you a sign of how you should do your rank list. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's I 100% agree with you. The only issue with that for me at this point is, for one, I do like general surgery, but I still have my concerns and my fears. Being that it's a 5-year residency and it is brutal, and then having the attending lifestyle that, I might be working more than I am at home with like my family and kids. But like you said, I'd be enjoying what I'm doing. And I mean, the worst case scenario, if I do match the general surgery and I really, really don't like it and I give up, which I don't envision happening, maybe I could
You good.
apply into EM
I
and
actually talked to Darcy about that too. I mentioned that there is like a weird loophole because there's less years EM.
yeah.
And like we've heard scenarios of people matching into surgery, not liking it, and then being able to transfer the next year.
Yeah. So I think for me, I might just have to take this leap of faith. I think a part of me is scared, but I don't know. I feel like I'm sort of figuring out the answer. I might have to cancel that meeting with Dr. Bachman, to be honest, because I mean, me and him will talk it over some more as well, but I'm starting to think maybe the second list with the surgery, one places I interviewed
Yeah.
at, be at the top, and then the EM places.
Yeah. I will say you like when you first came to me with a dilemma, you did mention like you loving South Florida and
Yeah.
you wanting to stay here, obviously for personal reasons and because,
That's my conflict as well. And
yeah.
then on top of that, I'll name drop a program if that's okay.
Whatever you want to do.
For sure. There's a pro well, I'll name drop two programs. There's University of Miami, situated here perfectly, right in the center of where I want to be, Miami. And then there's another program, Orlando Health in Orlando, which, truth be told, was one of the best programs I interviewed at. I interviewed there and I fell in love, and I actually I wanted to really, because I did a second look for U Miami EM, and I
Yeah,
really
tell me
wanted,
that.
yeah, I went and it was nice. And then I scheduled for like a personal second look for Orlando Health, and they walked me around. Well, one of the residents basically gave me a second look, and I really liked it. I fell in love with Orlando Health just from the interview. When they're talking about the program, I'm like, wow, this place has it all. Peds fellowship, critical care, intensive care fellowship. Their ER is absolutely beautiful. So then in my head, I'm like, what if I match into surgery? I find out I don't like it. And I'm like, damn, what if I would have stuck to my wits and stuck to my gut and put U Miami and Orlando Health at the top of the list, maybe over some surgical programs.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
No,
I think it's definitely a difficult dis it's definitely a difficult decision, but it's definitely like a personal decision. And it's like I said, if you like know in your heart that you'd be happy being an emergency medicine physician and you'd be happy being a general surgery physician, then hey, do it based off of the vibes that you got, location, that's just my only point, is just making sure that when you, of course, there's always going to be in the back of your head like a what if, but if you feel like it's going to be like nagging you in the future, like, dang, could I have done general surgery and I just kind of like not necessarily gave up, but didn't give myself the best shot, then I would go with the second way that you have your rank list. But if it's not, that big of a difference, then hey, I love the way that you're thinking about, the vibes of the programs that you rotated at where you want to be,
Yeah, I agree. And like, to be honest, hearing you speak about both specialties, I don't think that it's 50-50 for you. I feel like you want gen surg. So,
What would you give the ratio between gen surg and EM? Just off of the conversation we're having so far, and just everything I've basically said about each specialty, where do you think that ratio is?
like 60-40 gen surg, maybe even higher. What do you think, Katie?
Would say, yeah, 60-40. I wouldn't say it's higher than that. It might be a little bit lower than that, actually, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Now, I actually needed that because I do have to come up with a decision by this weekend. And I'm hoping, thank you for, having me on this podcast. I think talking it out definitely helped elucidate some thoughts. But, I've been thinking about this for months, contemplating it, talking it over with different people. But
Yeah.
decision day is coming up in 3 days.
Gotcha.
So hopefully, after talking to Dr. Bachman, talking to my parents,
Yeah.
I think each of them individually, because I think each of them are sort of rooting for different specialties.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Besides location and obviously specialty, what else did you factor in to your rank list?
Location, as we said, for sure, South Florida specialty.
Like, for example, did you consider like the prestige of the program, academic versus community, call shifts?
Really?
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, for sure. That's sort of what I mean by like reputable EM program. I ranked it off of, for example, University of Miami. They are affiliated with the medical school, so that's definitely why it's a little higher up. So working in an institution like that would be higher up for me rather than a solely community. No, like medical students really coming in. sort of situation. I want to be affiliated with some sort of medical school, or,
Yeah.
I want the program to be sort of known, at least with EM. With general surgery, I don't really care. I just want to be a surgeon, preferably be in South Florida. The more south, the better. So there is like a school in Louisiana and a school in Texas that I have on my list. Would make it higher up than like the New Jersey interviews that I got, because I
Yeah.
sort of don't want to go back. But I
He's from New Jersey, by the way,
yes.
audience.
Yes. I should have mentioned I'm from New Jersey, went to New Jersey Institute of Technology in Newark, New Jersey. Lived in Florida for 3 years and yeah, fell in love.
Nice.
As you guys can see, obvious. I'm trying to stay in South Florida.
Do you feel like you might be ranking based on like where you might have a better chance at ranking? Like, do you feel like that is like in the back of your head?
No, not at
Or
all.
sorry, matching, not ranking?
No, for sure. I know that I think maybe for like a day, I thought about that
Yeah.
throughout this process. Like I told you, it's a big mind game because you think, all right, let's say for example, I rotated at Kendall. I also rotated at St. Joe's and rotated at Hackensack. I got interviews for all those places. I was really playing it that way, those would be at the top of the list.
Gotcha.
I don't want to play it like that. I want to go for my best shot. And if I don't match there, guess what? It just moves down the list.
Right.
I looked at the statistics. If you have like 10 EM interviews, your chances of matching are like 90% plus.
Yeah.
So I think that's another,
You're golden.
yeah, that's another cool thing about having a specialty that isn't that competitive is you're going to match somewhere. So you might as well rank it from the best to the worst and hope you get the best.
Right.
Surgery,
And
no.
just to clarify for the audience, when we talk about competitiveness, it's really about the availability of spots. So, how many residency spots are available versus the number of applicants applying. So, I want to make that distinction that it's not. We're saying like, oh, EM is not competitive because it's an easy career path or it's easy to get into or anything like that. It really just has to do with the number of residency spots that are available. Like for dermatology, I think there's only like 130, 150 spots for every person who's applying derm in the country. So that is what makes it more competitive.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. Yeah, the distinction is, like you said, how many applicants there are and then compared to the amount of spots. Because this is definitely not to say EM is an easy specialty.
So, going back to your journey, what has been the most difficult part?
The most difficult part of my journey. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Just like during this fourth year, like dual
Okay.
application process and like just navigating that in general.
The hardest part of it.
Yeah.
Something they never really talked about is how draining some of these interviews can be.
Oh, we talked about that.
Oh, let me tell you, like when you're putting your best face on, waking up in the morning, I don't know, if you're crazy like me and you have a, let's say, an interview in the afternoon, you'll get a, like a gym session in the morning to really pump you up. You may even drink coffee after that gym session. And by the time you're done with the interview, you just feel so dead and exhausted. Especially once you get through, let's say, about half your list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just starts getting really hard to just maintain that like best
Yeah.
behavior.
Yeah.
I remember one time after the interview, I literally shut the computer, took off my entire suit, and just laid in bed for an hour. Doing nothing. I didn't even have my phone in my hand.
Yeah.
Literally just laid there, just enjoying the bed.
It is
That would have
really
been nice for me, except I was on rotations during all my interviews, so I would go back to the hospital.
Oh man.
Yeah, Katie, you're built different.
Yeah, though. You're 100% built different.
We
That's
didn't sign up for that.
yeah. I lucked out and the rotations I chose, I think it definitely helped. Which could be a whole podcast all on its own on how I even set up the fourth year rotations and the mindset with that. But at least for my later interviews, like let's say interviews 15 to 25, most of my interviews, for some reason, I scheduled them in January, and it was when I was doing EM. So having shift work is perfect because you tell them what dates you're interviewing and they sort of make the schedule around your interview dates. Which was nice. But yeah, Katie, you're built different. I don't know how you could do it.
I
I'm
can't imagine
saying.
for 25 interviews. That's insane. That's
There
literally
was just
insane.
this one girl. She literally came from like a Whipple procedure, which, for the audience, it's like a 6 to 8 hour surgery, longer with complications. And she came from that surgery to like a meet and greet with the residents. I'm like, wow. Some people are really built different. 'Cause I think after a procedure like that, I'm gonna go home and sleep. But yeah.
Which actually, we kind of talked about this on another episode, like how different the meet and greets in terms of the amount of people that were there for OB versus IM. What were the meet and greets like for your specialties? Like, did you feel like they were soft requirements that you had to attend, or, you know?
Yeah, I get what you mean. So for general surgery, I did feel they were like soft requirements. At the very least, if you're trying to show interest in the program, the more things you do, the higher up the list you're gonna be. For me, I'm willing to go on the meet and greet the day before an interview. That's fine. Doing a second look would also put you higher up on the list, but truth
Would
be
it
told,
really, sorry to cut you off, but isn't it usually after the rank meeting?
some people say that.
Mm.
I don't know though.
I hear you.
They have consistent access until March 5th. They can do whatever they want, really.
I agree, actually. What's your take on that, Kitty?
I get both sides. Like, I definitely can see, like, yeah, if, you like you said, Salam, if you're really vibing with the PD, vibing with the residents, I could definitely see how that could, maybe potentially bump you up. But then there's also, it also becomes an issue of access, right? Because not everyone can afford to go to second looks, which is, with COVID and everything, everything went virtual. But one of the reasons why they're keeping it virtual is because it increases the access for every applicant. And so, like, for instance, for me, of course, I would have loved to go to the out of state second looks. But based on, life and things that I have going on personally, I couldn't afford to go out of state. So the second looks that I went to were all things that I could comfortably drive, to, and it, wasn't too bad of a drive from where I'm currently at. So I think one of the big reasons why a lot of programs start to say, we do our rank list before second look is really for those people who truly can't afford to go, or they have other scheduling conflicts and things like that. And me personally, if I could go to every second look, I would, but I would hate, if someone who, not hate, but I would be really disappointed if someone who went to a second look and, everyone loved them, that they got put above me because simply because I couldn't go. You know what I mean? Like, I did not have that opportunity to make another impression after the interview day because
Yeah,
I
I actually want to like say something about my experience too at Second Look. So one Second Look I went to, there were actually like over 60 applicants present. So like even if you were there, it was super hard to get FaceTime with the PD. And the PD was like in and out in like 5 minutes. So I'm not sure if like that really affected our ranking, if at all, right? Because it's like even the residents that are there, it's like if you're drowning in applicants, that is just like so hard. And then it's like, do you really think they can decipher you from the next person when they're just meeting you the first time? Unless, like you said, you make like the worst impression, and then they just have to find out who you are.
Yeah.
They just have
who is that guy? I gotta
Right.
Right. So that's the first point. And then the second point is there was another second look I went to out of state. And granted, it was a smaller like population size, like of applicants that went, but the PD like actually didn't join at all.
Yeah.
And like they announced that in the email. They were like, this is simply for you to tour our campus and get to know the residents.
Yeah.
So because they also just didn't want to have like, you know, any like bias or anything, or like have that like affect the rank list in any way.
Yes.
So the PD, like we didn't even see the PD at all during that second look day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think since we talk about this in Katie, that was a really good point you brought up. I failed to consider that actually.
It's okay.
Completely.
This is why we have discussions, you know?
Yeah.
So for sure. I definitely failed to consider that completely. But just with the discussion that we're having, I think different programs are going to utilize different methods. You know, some programs, they literally sound like, you know, the PD is not even there for the second look. So,
There was like
you
no
know what I mean?
admin there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's over 60 people. Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck standing
This
out.
is truly for you.
No, it's
Yeah.
truly for you. And they
But
announced that.
then I do feel like there are some programs that are like, let's see who's really about it.
Yeah.
Like, not to name drop, but there was a program where the PD was there for the whole time for the second look. And
Yeah.
there was about 10 of us, and there's about 20 spots. So, unless every other applicant went to the second look on a date that I don't even know about, it was just us. So, I think, you know, and he's seeing us for like the entirety of like half a day. I think our names may stick and it may move us up. But like you said, I don't think that would be fair for people who just simply can't fly out.
And then also just to make one more point, I do think it's specialty dependent because general surgery is like they have like less spots that we talked about, increasing like their competitiveness like for those spots
Yeah.
than let's say internal medicine. Like I think they are going to take in consideration like you said, who's really about it, like who
Yeah.
actually showed up, because it's
Yeah.
like they're looking for any way to like cut down applicants and like weed down
No, for
their
sure.
list.
And I think it helps because then it makes it a little less competitive. Like for internal medicine, I heard, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but it got more competitive this year
It
as
did.
compared to other years.
Yeah, it did.
Like people are not getting that many interviews.
No, and signals were actually really important apparently this year because there were like an unprecedented amount of like applicants for internal medicine this year,
Really?
which was wild. I'm like, yeah, the one year I apply,
That's what
everyone wants to like come out of the woodwork.
I'm saying. I think every year it ebbs and flows in terms of competitiveness, and you know, you
Yeah.
see one specialty going crazy, and we really don't find out until we get like the match results. But I'm actually kind of scared to see where this is going. I know I'm definitely not contrib I may be skewing it downward towards like more realistic projections. Because when I heard that the average step two score just like nationwide was like a 251,
That's wild.
I was like, bro, the average of every USMD student, I was like, bro, are these people scoring 283s? And like, you know,
Yeah, actually.
and then you look at the graph and it, and the graph itself looks weird. Like you have, I don't know, you've
Yeah.
seen it,
Yeah.
like the distribution of like scores.
People are getting smarter and smarter.
What advice would you give to medical students that are dual applying?
I would say, honestly, I would tailor the advice specific on to the individual and, you know, see where they're coming from in terms of dual applying. Are there truly two specialties that they really love? They don't care where they match. You know, it might be a different story than compared to someone who's like, damn, I have like five specialties that I really wanna, I could work in any of these. I would, you know, maybe say pick two, and figure out what are like the requirements for each specialty. Me personally, I use the a resource, Med School Insiders, on YouTube, and it really outlines the process. There's the series they have. It's called the So You Want to Be, and then each video. So you want to be a general surgeon, so you want to be OBGYN, so you want to be emergency medicine. It tells you about the whole process and how to apply. And I think maybe that's why I scheduled an EM rotation right away in like March, because I knew the process was a little different from other specialties.
Yeah.
So really, your research on each specialty
Definitely.
and come up with a strategy. Like, if you're someone like me who, yeah, you enjoy surgery a little more than other specialties, but you could still see yourself in specialties, other specialties, apply smartly. Try to choose a specialty you enjoy that's not as competitive. And then for your other option, choose a specialty that's a little more competitive. You know, it all depends on what you did in med school and what your step two score is.
Yeah. So any parting words that you want to tell the audience before we wrap up?
Any parting words just for anyone applying to medical school or like advice in
Yeah,
general?
probably about this topic.
No, like in
Yeah,
terms
like about like
of
dual
like
applying,
your path.
EM.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say you really got to sit down and just think and draw upon your experiences in third year and maybe even fourth year and figure out what specialties could you do. For me, I had that knowledge of, you know, being an EMT before medical school and figuring out me as a person, I want to be hands-on as well as use my medical knowledge. That helped me narrow it down to emergency medicine and surgery. You have to figure out what you want out of your career because this is for the rest of your life. I mean, you could always change, but it's better to just get it in one shot. figure out what you want as a person. What do you want to contribute? What's your end goal? What will make you sleep better at night, right? And go from there.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah,
I think,
definitely.
you know, being classmates with you guys, I know I've seen you guys switch and stuff, which I
I
think
feel
I
like
would
I've
say
been pretty persistent or consistent.
you're within the same field for
Both.
sure. But I remember at one point you wanted to do intensive, like on the interventional cardiology, and now you went from interventional cardiology to like ICU, which are similar, but you know you still have that option down the road too.
True.
But that's what I like. You weren't sort of fixed from day one. You kept an open mind, and you know, I'm sure you have your reasons why you want to do ICU.
Yeah.
You know, really just know yourself and talk to yourself and figure out what do you really want to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's solid advice. Well, thank you so much, Salam, for joining us and being our guest host on this episode. We appreciate it.
Yes,
Thank
for
you so
sure.
much, Salam.
Yeah, for sure. This was fun. Thanks, guys.
Of
Sort of felt like a therapy session almost.
course. Right. All right. Well, we will catch you guys on the next episode of Sink or Swim.
Bye, guys.
Alrighty, take care.